Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mindful Muscle Podcast. We have a special guest today, but Jody, introduce our guest, my co-host in crime. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Before I get into our special guest, I wanted to say for our new listeners, if you're new here, welcome. Gio and I are two individuals that have experienced transformations on our own and collectively have lost 140 pounds. And we found joy in prioritizing our health and our well-being, and we want to help people along the way. Now, for my special guest, our special guest is Samantha Schmidt, who I've met through the fitness community. Gio and I met through a Facebook group called FitBod, which is a workout app. And Samantha was also one of the community members. And she's been an amazing blessing in my life. Mm-hmm. She is a hardworking woman. She is proof that being a mom is not a reason enough to stop you and hold you back from going after what you want and prioritizing your health. And she's also, her and I have a special project we started because of our friendship, but we'll get into that more later. So welcome, Samantha. Welcome to the Mindful Muscle Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's awesome to have you because we're going to have fun here. I mean, look, part of the reason I wanted you on or we wanted you on is because you keep it real. You are honest. You are hardworking, and there's so much of your story that we want to share. That being said, though, when we met in Arizona last year, you had a different mindset going in. Explain how, because I've seen you grow so much since. What were some of your trepidations before meeting there, the gang from FitBot?
So when we planned that trip to Arizona, I very much looked forward to being able to meet people who had an obsession with health and fitness like I did. However, I felt like since I was so new into my fitness journey, I didn't really have a place that I wouldn't fit in, right? Depending on the fact that I didn't know as much, I didn't have as much experience. And quite frankly, I didn't feel like my body was good enough to be able to fit into the individuals that would be present at that time. But it didn't take long to meet everybody and feel completely welcomed. It was weird. It was just like you had finally met your people. You know, I fit in. It was fun. And so many memories and laughs, and many of those friendships have remained a part of my life on almost a daily basis. So,
amen for that. Hey, let me say this, though, for the people listening, and I won't dive more into it because out of respect for my two friends here, but I co-named them Thelma and Louise. Just leave it at that. They were peas in the pod. They hit it off. But, okay, you come back from the trip of Arizona. You said you felt comfortable. What began to change? Because from that time, you seem like the engine is revving even higher, like you caught more momentum. Walk us through that.
So before Arizona, I definitely felt motivated in the gym. I was enjoying that process. I was enjoying learning. I had recently met with a dietitian, but a few months before that. But after I left Arizona, I think finding that place where I really felt like I had my people, where I belonged in that community, allowed me to feel more comfortable and confident. And I didn't have any hesitations. At that point in time, I started making it an absolute priority and part of my lifestyle, not just this thing that I did when I have time. You know, I started setting my alarm for 3:30 in the morning, whether I went to a public gym or home gym. You know, I was getting up at 3:30, working out hour and a half, 2 hours, usually 7 days a week still. I know rest days are important, Gio, don't yell at me, but it's hard. But it became a deep thing and I loved it. And even nutrition became more exciting for me. And that used to be a thing that gave me so much anxiety because I just had no idea what I was doing. But I was able to see that food was not the enemy there. I just had to learn what to eat, when to eat. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is it with you ladies? Because I've yet to hear a guy tell me he wakes up at 3:30 in the morning to go work out. Ladies, explain this.
I feel like I have to do that. So if I don't, I'm not able to fit it in. Like I didn't work out this morning because it was a Sunday. I wanted to sleep in to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And now I'm kind of dreading the fact that at 7 p.m. I'm going to have to work out. So, mm-hmm. but that 3:30 time, that is the absolute time where I know I'm not going to be burdened with any other responsibilities by, you know, anything, anyone else in my life, you know, where it's just time for me to focus on me and my own personal, mental and physical growth. You know, for me, the gym is so much more beyond a physical experience. The gym has become very much part of my sanctuary. If I'm in a bad mood, if I'm sad, if my anxiety's high, you know, I'm having difficulty sleeping, I'll go in the gym and then I'll be fine. And chances are within 30 minutes to an hour after, I'm grounded. You know, I feel wonderful, but the gym is so much more for me. So that 3:30 time is not something I dread. I actually look forward to it because I know that that is one of the only times in my life in which I'm going to say time is about me. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes my 5-year-old will kind of wake up and she'll walk in there. Yeah. And she knows I'll say, go to the couch, go to sleep. Mom's working out. And she does. She doesn't ask for drinks or snacks or nothing. She just gets her blanket and lays back down. So it's been wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. Before I throw it to Jody here, go ahead. I guess there was a little lag there. Go ahead, Jody.
I was going to say, like, for me, the morning vibe at the gym is better than later in the day. So, like, one of my friends, her husband said to me, like, when I went randomly at 2 p.m., he's like, Jody, I want to warn you, it smells like Axe body spray in here. So be careful, because apparently that's the kind of vibe going on. And I don't know. I just prefer the morning crew. We're all suffering together at that hour, and there's no waiting for equipment, and nobody's bugging me. Mom, I need this. Mom, I need that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to agree with the environment in the gym too. It's a public gym. Mine is substantially different when I go in the mornings versus if I have to go in the afternoons. And I know there's going to be like a solid 4 people there, you know, maybe 5. So it's so easy.
You know, you mentioned you are a mom, but you're also a working mom. Let the people know what you do for a living. Obviously, I know what you do for a living, but for the audience.
So I'm a mental health therapist. I work for a telehealth platform. So, you know, when I get up at 3:30 in the morning and do my thing, I then get finished and I get the kids to school and I start my work day and I'm there from 8 to 4. So, you know, that's Monday through Friday. And then occasionally I work Saturdays and Sundays, depending on how many clients need seen that week. So I work a lot. I love what I do. I'm passionate about what I do. I have no regrets for it. And I don't mind to work a lot, to be quite honest. But you know, in addition to mental health, I do have a stressful job because of the stuff that I talk about on a regular basis. It is just gets stressful sometimes. So the gym's also been a really good outlet to kind of ground me first thing in the morning.
Yeah, smack some iron instead of some people.
That's right.
So what motivated, though, you know, you mentioned prior to Arizona, you were motivated and then it kind of caught fire and you've been motivated since. But what sparked the initial, you know, because a lot of people are comfortable, they get older, they think working out is for younger people. What sparked the initial thrive, you know, to get into working out and to taking care of yourself?
Initially, like upon the beginning of my fitness journey or okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I spent my entire life playing sports. You know, my parents had me in like little league sports as a child. And then I started to grow up and I got in middle school. I did soccer, basketball, volleyball, basketball. I mean, I did so many sports. And then even as, you know, when I got into high school, I did more sports and more sports. And then when I graduated high school, I got into things like mixed martial arts and I did that for a while. So I've always had a relationship with fitness and that I've always been active. But there was this flip, you know, when I got into graduate school, it was hard. I was working 40 hours a week. I was going to school 3 nights a week. So I wasn't even getting home till 10 o'clock at night most times. And for the most part, even then, I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going to the gym, but it was very inconsistent. And then I think my stress levels just got higher. And then I got married and had a kid. And once I became a mom, I didn't know how to find that balance. You know, it was all about, you know, I have to be a good mom. I have to make sure she's taken care of. I'm already working all these hours, so I can't take away time for myself at the gym. There was a lot of guilt. But I think she got a little bit older. I started to find a little bit more priority in myself again. But what really flipped it was I had kind of a health scare. Nothing that I went to the doctor for, probably should have. If you have a health scare, do that. Don't do what I did. Right. But I just got really uncomfortable one day. My heart rate was all over the place. I couldn't calm it down. And it kind of hit me at that point. Like, if I don't do something right now, today, you know, this is only going to get worse. And I have an entire family history of heart issues. So that was not the path that I wanted. And I made a decision that day to make a change. I didn't exactly get started. I had to get some help. I had to find people to help me. I had to get support. I had to figure out what fitness was, right? Which is when I really started getting into the use of the app of Fitbod. And then it wasn't until December of 2021 where I heard about this 90-day kind of challenge, right? Yes. Where you develop a lifestyle, right? I'm going to do something every day for 90 days. So every day for 90 days, I got up and I made myself do 20 to 30 minutes of movement. Now I'm doing substantially more than that now. But to get me in the routine of continuing exercise with zero allowance for any kind of excuses, that's what I did. Some days it was a really good hard workout. Other days it was just like, I'm just going to do some push-ups and sit-ups and jog. That's it, right? But no matter what, I did it, you know. And there were so many times where I could have easily said, this is an excuse not to work out, right? I had lost some friends, family members. I had gone through some like sickness where I was feeling like absolute crap, but still going into the gym and saying, this is 20 to 30 minutes that I told myself I was going to do. And that's one thing. Like when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I've always been that way. So I kind of pushed myself to do that. And then once I got to 90 days, I didn't want to stop. In fact, what I did is I increased my time. I was doing more at that point. It wasn't until like 132 days or something that I finally took a rest day. But it wasn't until I had made up in my mind that I would give myself permission to take a rest day, knowing that I felt comfortable in saying that I started this lifestyle up and that I could do it. So that was a huge contribution to kind of where I'm at now.
Go ahead, Jody, jump in here because I could talk to Samantha all day.
No, I think that's incredible because I know a lot of people, they don't want to work out. They don't feel like it. And I always say, like, if you get to a point where you just can't, you're having a hard time bringing yourself to do it, just commit to 5 minutes of doing something, because that's like less overwhelming and anybody can find 5 minutes. So I love that you did little increments, like 20 to 30 minutes. So it's less overwhelming and easier to show up for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I knew I had to do something that was more attainable for myself. Because if I did the whole, like, I'm going to do, you know, 2 hour long workouts a day, I was not about to do that. That was not going to happen for me. So being able to do something that would work with my actual lifestyle and wouldn't get me in this headspace of dreading it made it much easier to do.
So when you were doing these 90-day challenge, was it focused mainly on weightlifting, on cardio? Was it a combination of both? And what else entailed this 90-day challenge?
It was strictly on, I'm going to do intentional movement in the gym or walking. So I guess it was a combination of weightlifting and cardio, but I didn't allow myself to say, you know, I have a break in between sessions so I can walk for a few minutes. That didn't count. It had to be, I'm turning my music on, putting my headphones in, and I am doing an exercise for 20 to 30 minutes. I mean, and there were some days where I did like go on a bike ride or go on a hike. And I included that because that is very intentional movement, right? But it couldn't just be, you know, I'm getting up and cleaning the house. Like that's not exercise for me. That is just, I hate doing it. It's just a responsibility. So I'm not including that. You know, this was stuff that I really wanted and cared about.
Okay. Okay. And, And during that time, what was your nutrition like?
It was terrible. I didn't know. Yeah. You know, I think at that point in time, what I had in my head was move more, eat less. You know, because that's a lot of what you hear as a female. Like, I'm going on this fast, right? Or I'm going to go on this diet where you can't have anything but fat and, you know, protein. Or I'm going to, I don't know. There's just a lot of push, I feel like, especially where I live, kind of in the Midwest, where you're told, you know, if you want to lose weight, the only way to do it is to eat less and less and less. And yes, I was probably consuming too many calories or I wouldn't have gained weight to begin with, right? But realistically, there were a lot of calories that I needed that I wasn't consuming, such as in good fiber, protein-rich foods, right, that I just didn't know that I needed a certain amount of. So I think it was December of 2022. It seems to be a trend there of Decembers. In December of 2022, I hired a dietitian who I sat down with and talked to. She explained to me how to track macros, kind of what to look at. And it was kind of funny. The first thing she had me do was increase my calories. She's like, you're not eating enough. You're putting too much stress in your body and you're not eating enough. Because at this point, I was already working out an hour, hour and a half a day. So, you know, I was doing a lot and not consuming enough. So she just had me adding simple things like, let's add a protein shake here, or let's add some Greek yogurt for your breakfast or whatever. But she really helped me learn, you know, what kind of foods I needed for the lifestyle and goals I desired.
So when she asked you to add more calories, what was your initial gut reaction? Because I've heard people, yes, exactly. Go ahead, elaborate on that.
I told her that I didn't think I could do it. You know, I was like, there's no way. There's no way you're going to tell me to add calories and I'm going to lose weight. It is not going to happen, you know? And she's like, Samantha, you are jacking up your hormones. Like, you are doing so much damage to your body because you're not eating enough food. And you're putting it through an intense amount of work, more work than anyone I know. And she was right. You know, I think it was the first 2 weeks I lost like 2 or 3 pounds. And that was by increasing my calories. You know, I wasn't increasing it by going to McDonald's and getting, you know, Big Macs by any means. But it was like, I'm going to consume, you know, double the amount of chicken I did in a normal meal. Instead of 3 ounces, I was consuming 6 ounces of chicken, you know, or maybe I'm adding 1 or 2 extra protein snacks or shakes a day, you know. So it wasn't like I was adding unhealthy stuff, but I was loading up on vegetables. I was loading up on those healthy carbs and I was loading up on protein, you know, stuff that my body was definitely a desperate need for. And it was crazy how much better I felt almost immediately. My sleep was better. My irritability was down. My anxiety was, you know, slowly going down. So it was really amazing to see kind of the fitness mentality in the gym meeting my nutritional health.
I tell people all the time, part of the reason I work out and I want to
build muscle. Did your energy go up?
Oh, yeah. I was lifting way more. Like within a month.
We have a lag here on my end.
Yeah, we have a small lag. No big deal. We'll make it work. I was saying one of the things that the reason I work out and I want more muscle is because I want to eat more. I mean, that's basically it. I want to eat more. Go ahead, Jody. We'll wait for the lag. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did your energy increase by adding the calories?
Yes. Yes, my energy was way better. And I felt, honestly, I felt uncomfortably full at first. And, you know, she just kept telling me, just tough it out for a few days and you'll get better, you know. And I don't eat now to the point where I'm uncomfortably full, but I had to get my body used to consuming more. But when I had consistently ate the right foods for probably a couple of weeks, I started having more energy throughout the day. Like, I wasn't as tired at the end of the day. You know, I was looking forward to workouts a little bit more. I didn't need as much caffeine to get me through the day. But within a month, I remember, like, within a month, I was like upping the weight on everything I was doing in the gym, which I'm a huge volume junkie. I love to be able to look at the Fitbit app and see all my numbers and blast that on my socials because I get excited. Yeah. So for me, that was a huge thing too. And it was also a really cool shift to kind of just take it away from my body image, right? So it was nice to be able to say, I'm going to eat more so my numbers can be higher on my volume in my workouts, right? So I can feel stronger. That was a really cool switch for me.
You know, we're going to get into body image because I love what you and Jody are doing together. But before we dive into that, you know, you told us that you work in the mental health space. How was your inner talk during this transition period as you're making these changes? Because look, all of us have it. And you being a professional in this field, though, you kind of gonna be your own client. So how was your mental game throughout this transition?
That was very up and down. There were some days where I was just brutal. I was brutal to myself. And still, there's still a lot of days where I'll call Jody and I'll be like, hey, today's one of those days. Tell me I'm not, you know, whatever is in my mind. But especially during those early stages, like telling myself to eat more, that was awful. Like there were days where I would eat more and then I would get on the scale the next day and I would just cry. Because I told myself, like, this is what you get for eating more calories. You should have known better. And it made no sense because in that same exact morning, I would be able to lift more in the gym and I was excited. But all it would take is one step on the scale. And then I felt terrible, you know. And there were some days where I was really, really confident and proud about what I was doing. I would say majority part, it was probably 70% positive for me, 30% negative. So the majority was good. And I think the biggest portion of that is because what exercise does for our mental health that really helped keep my head in a good space. But there were those really hard days where it required reaching out to a support system, telling someone I was having a hard time. Because a lot of what I told myself was, you're not doing this right. It's never going to work out for you. You're never going to get that desired look. You're never going to be as strong as this person. You don't really fit in. You know, you're a 30-year-old mom. What are you thinking trying to do this? You know, and where I live, it's kind of pushed, you know, you graduate, you get married, you have kids. That's what you do. Bam. Your life is done. Right. So for me to be like, okay, well, I also have a master's degree and I also have these hobbies and I also want to travel and meet these crazy people from all over the States and, you know, in Canada, I suppose, you know, it was cool. But there was a lot of days in which I had to remind myself, like, this is not you being selfish on an unhealthy level. This is you taking care of your body so you can live a longer, happier life.
So what would you tell a mother who's just starting out and feeling like she can't fit it in, she can't get it right, having been through it and now on the other side, what would you tell her?
To keep going. No matter what amount of guilt she feels, no matter what people tell her, that she has to do it for herself. If you do not fill your own cup, you can't pour into anyone else's. But even beyond that, your happiness matters. Your ability to say, this is important to me, my happiness, my joy, things that I love and care about are also important in addition to all my responsibilities and other people in my life that I care about and love. And your kids are watching you, right? So my daughter's 5. She goes in the gym with me and I don't want her in there doing pull-ups because she can knock out 10 of those things in no time. Drives me crazy, right? But she will ask me, Mom, we're going to go exercise. She loves to do it with me. But your kids are also watching you and they're watching you not only put in that physical effort, but my daughter also knows, you know, when mom goes into the gym, that's her time. So I'm also teaching my daughter that it's okay to prioritize time for yourself, to do things that are important for you, even if no one else really benefits from it, because it's not always about what everyone else gets out of what we do. Sometimes it's just gotta be about us and that's okay.
Yeah. Awesome. You versus you. If you're not around, she's not going to be happy. I tell you that much. And so you taking care of yourself, which leads me to, and Jody, jump in here. I know that we're having a lag today, but go ahead whenever you want. But that leads me to what you and Jody are doing together. This whole notion, for those who are listening, they have a body positivity chat on every other Wednesdays. What was the genesis of that, and why did you two wanted to start it? And at this point, Jody, you could jump in and answer as well.
Jody, you want to jump in or you want me to start?
Well, I know Samantha touched upon this in the very, unfortunately, the lag is 4 seconds. Okay. So I'm trying. I'll let you, I'm going to jump off and jump back in. So okay. Samantha, you start and I'll just jump in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So Jody and I had actually talked about for a while doing something similar to this because we both discussed so many times in private conversations how our body image impacted us, not only in the gym, but in other areas of our life. And the more we started to pay attention to people around us and what they were posting, what they were saying, and just having side conversations with our own friends and family, it became adamantly clear that the need to normalize the experiences with despising your own body, no matter how it looks, that those feelings needed to be addressed and normalized, and that there needed to be a space for us to come together as friends, as cohorts, right? To be able to talk about, you know, what are we struggling with and how can we support each other? And what are some ways that we can deal with this that are healthy beyond just saying, oh, just ignore it. It'll get better, right? Because that fixes everything apparently.
Yeah. Okay. So look, you know, I just passed my CPT exam. And one of the questions that stood out to me, which helps me understand what you guys are doing, is that it's normally women, it's a greater number of women suffer from this body image issues. Nevertheless, there are men who suffer from this as well. I know there are men in the group. Did that catch you by surprise? Was that, what's the word I'm looking for?
It did.
Yeah. Elaborate on seeing
that. To see men join in on this group and talk about struggling with their own body was definitely a surprise. I didn't expect that. You know, when I started this, Jody, I expected just to primarily be women in the group. And it was kind of refreshing to have other men jump in there and say, hey, I'm struggling with this too. You know, I mean, stats tell us that, you know, it's like just in this one study, like 30% of men, 40% of women struggle with body image issues. But to have so many people of, you know, actual close friends that we speak with, and to come in there and say, no matter how their body looks, that they were not happy and that it was impacting them in a negative way, it both home and in the gym, you know, it was crazy to see the depths at which our body image impacts everybody.
So without obviously dropping any names, but what are some of the things they say? And what are some of the things you said about yourself, right? As we struggle, so people can identify with these body issues. I have my own. I've been in the group discussion as well. But what have you heard mainly?
A lot of it has to do with, you know, their presence in the gym or looking themselves in the mirror, right? So they'll go in the gym, they'll have a really good workout, and then they'll get a glance at themselves in the mirror and they'll catch one insecurity, one single thing they don't like. And then that is what our brain attaches to is, you know, I don't like that body part. I don't like how this looks on me. And then that becomes the entire distorted image of what we see, right? As human beings, we're going to have things about our bodies that aren't always great. So in the body positivity group, it's not all about looking at your body and saying, you know, I can't improve on things. I can't change my physique. That's not what we're saying, right? I mean, these people in this group, we're not just, you know, it's not just anybody, right? These are people that we know are in the gym on a regular basis, weightlifters, triathletes, you know, I mean, anybody is in there. But these are people who, despite the amount of effort they put into their bodies, still struggle, right? No matter what their physique is, they still struggle. So being able to kind of have that moment where you realize, like, I had a really good day in the gym, and then all it took was a glance in the mirror or a picture to make me feel terrible, you know, realizing how big of an issue that was, it made it important for us to have a space where we could come together and say that, you know, we accept our bodies. We love who we are as individuals, even if that means I don't particularly love this about my body, right? Or maybe I want to change this. Maybe I want to increase something or lose something, whatever that might be. You know, it's about accepting your body as a human being with the idea of if I want to make healthy changes, I can.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
in yourself.
Yeah. It's interesting because even myself, I joke around that when I wake up in the morning, I go straight to the bathroom and I have in front of my sink this huge mirror. I don't like that mirror. That mirror, the lighting in there, whatever it is. And sometimes I look at that mirror and I'm like, oh man, I got to hit the gym, but from a negative standpoint, right? And then I remind myself, just go to the closet mirror. That mirror makes me look like a god. And so it's little things that we have to manage ourselves that sometimes plays issues. Hold on, let me get Jody back in here. Jody, are you there? Having technical issues today. But yeah, so it's little things like that. And lighting sometimes makes such a big importance. But ultimately, it can't be about body image, right? It has to be about the process. And that's what gets me through it most of the time. The fact that I know that what I'm doing is good for my long-term health, regardless of what I look like. What are some of the advice or some of the things you've heard that get people through their issues with body image?
I think it's very dependent upon kind of what your own individual triggers are, right? So if you're having a day where your clothes don't fit just right and you look in the mirror and you don't like how you look, don't sit there and stare at the mirror and pick yourself apart. Right? You're in the gym to improve your health. So let's not spend that time beating yourself up and telling you what a piece of work you are, because that's not reality, right? Reality is you're in the gym putting more work into your health than the majority of people, you know? So, you know, I think it's very dependent upon what the situation is, but there's even little stuff like monitoring your social media, right? If your social media has weight loss ads left and right, if your social media has anything that goes against like healthy body standards, right? And I'm not saying that being fit isn't healthy, but if your social media is flooding you with take this supplement, do this detox, join this program, do this, and it's flooding you with ideas that how you are isn't good enough, hide it. Mm-hmm. Block it. Don't allow yourself to be exposed to stuff on a constant basis. They contribute to that. A lot of boundary setting too with body image. Mm-hmm. You know, even we talked about like holidays with family, right? So Yes. Because I had lost, you know, I think it was like 70 pounds, mm-hmm. 50, 70, somewhere between that, you know, in a little over a year, there was a lot of comments about my body and it felt good to have people say, hey, you look really good. But at a certain point in time, even the good compliments about my body can become overwhelming because I fixate on it, right? And then it becomes not good enough. So Again, it's very individual, but a lot of the boundary setting helps too. You know, like, hey, I appreciate it. Can we talk about what I did in the gym instead? You know, mm-hmm. Can we talk about something other than how I look?
Yeah.
And then if you have people saying negative things about your body or what you're doing, right, cut them out. We don't need people who are negative in our life. We don't need people who are telling us you're not doing a good job, that you're not doing things right, that if you're not doing it their way, it's not good enough. Cut them out. There's no place for that. And I'm not talking about a support system who is just holding you accountable, right? There's a difference between a support system who's like, hey, you haven't been in the gym in a hot minute. What's going on?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, because I think like if I hadn't posted about or talked about the gym, you, Jody, Maggie, Kayla, Curtis, you know, any of those people would be jumping in saying, Samantha, what's up? Are you okay? Right. But it would be a positive interaction with me. It wouldn't be you know, you're being lazy, get over yourself. Yeah. So there's a big difference. So I think looking at your environment is the biggest thing. We can work on controlling our cognitive responses all we want. But if we can just lay the groundwork of having a good, healthy environment for ourselves, including the people around us, our social media, you know, what we see, what we're hearing, if we can lay the groundwork for that, that's the biggest gift we can give ourselves in terms of becoming more comfortable in your own skin.
That is awesome, because a lot of people sometimes suffer, and maybe that's not the word, but yeah, it could be the word, suffer through this alone. And if they would just find a tribe, right, quote unquote, a tribe that would cheer them on, it would be, I know it was helpful for me finding the Fitbod community, because I was new to all of this. How has, you know, the Fitbod community, the infamous community, how has that helped you along the way? And what would you recommend to somebody who's struggling alone?
I don't think I would be here if I didn't have my people, you know, yeah. And I have some amazing friends and family, right? But I needed people in my life who understood my passion for fitness and health, right? My friends were very, very supportive and encouraging. I love them to death. But I needed someone who was also going to talk about their workouts. I wanted to hear about that. I needed to feed that, mm-hmm. right? I think that we need others who share our same passions in order to become one of those people. You know, if we're not around people who share an interest that contributes to our life in a way that we want to grow, which for me was fitness and health, then it's not going to happen. That's just the reality of it. There was on one occasion, I was just having a bad day. I was just stressed out. I was overwhelmed. And I had a couple of people reach out. One offered, you know, let's go out to eat and get a glass of wine. It's not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I didn't need that. Right. And then I had another one say, hey, Sam, let's come over and have a good workout and sit in the sauna together. I'm in. Right.
Yeah.
Now she's one of my friends who actually live close. And she's one who helps me with my diet. And she goes to the gym with me on occasion. And she's wonderful, wonderful. But I think if it hadn't been for people like you and Jody, I think if it hadn't been for people that I live close to that are into this, even like my in-person morning crew now at the gym, you know, there's like four or five of us. It's mostly males. There's a couple of females that show up every now and then, but it's really cool to know that those people are going to be there. And if they don't see me there, they're going to be like, hey, where you been? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's cool to have a group of people around you who have some expectations that's going to remain a priority, who can encourage you, who can share in that excitement. And instead of people being like, you know, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to get up at 3:30? Sorry, Gio.
Yeah, exactly.
But it helps to have someone who understands your journey and why it's important to you.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to keep explaining it over and over again.
Yeah. Hey, look, today I hit a new PR on the bench press and I send it to several of my non-working out friends and they were like, oh, that's nice. And then continue to talk about basketball. And so that's why you need the community. Because look, health, as a matter of fact, I heard it just yesterday, health is wealth. And so as we get older, especially as parents, I want to be around for my grandkids. And I want to be able to chase my grandkids around. And so we have to prioritize our health. That being said, think back to the beginning to now, both working out and nutrition. What has been the biggest surprise to you? Like, what exercise did you hate at the beginning and perhaps you love now? Or what exercise you never thought you'd be loving and love now?
Bulgarian split squats.
Oh, you're nuts. It's
probably my favorite exercise.
Really?
Out of anything. Probably, yes. I have a leg day I'm doing after this, and I added Bulgarian split squats because I love them. There's, you know, even like push-ups. I used to hate push-ups, and now I can pop out 20, 25 of those. You know, I'm a little lower on them at the current moment, but you know, I think I can do like 15 right now. But still, you know, considering 2 years ago, I struggled to get 3 real push-ups in.
Yeah.
You know, bumping to 15 mm-hmm. to 20 to 25 when I'm really training for them feels amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's been the cool thing to be able to see, like, oh my gosh, I can't wake up. I can't wait to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and go do some Bulgarian split squats and, you know, lunges and bench presses and all these things that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago just yeah. wouldn't have excited me.
Yeah. Yeah. They still don't excite me. Burpees I don't like, running I don't like, and Bulgarian split squats. Although out of those three, I try the Bulgarian more often than the other two. Like burpees, I never do. Running, I may do. Bulgarian, I do a little bit more, but it's not part of the regular routine.
Yeah, what about burpees? Burpees are the devil. I did not.
Yes, exactly.
Those. I'll do them on occasion because they're great for my heart rate, but ugh, they're awful.
What about diet wise? What did you give up? Or not give up, but like what has been the biggest change from then to now, diet wise?
So I think that I have like made room on the plate for extra protein versus like the pasta and carbs. Now, okay. I still have pasta and carbs. I had some tonight for dinner. There's not a single
edamame pasta
I'm not allowed to have, right? But but I allow myself to have those things, but knowing like that little portion on a plate that would have been extra pasta is not going to be extra chicken or fish. You know, it's not going to be the carbs because the protein makes me feel better. And I know for a lot of it, for me, it's how I can function in the gym because I'm so obsessed with it at this point, that a lot of my nutrition is to fuel my workouts for the gym. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jody, go ahead. Let's see if the lag's been fixed.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes. I think.
Yay. I'm so sorry, guys.
Ah, no worries. Go ahead. Ask Samantha something. Otherwise, I'm taking over. No, go ahead.
Well, considering I don't know what you asked her. Yeah, that's
true. We'll let you know. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, going back to what you were trying to ask me before everything went to... I know for Samantha and I with the body positivity group, I know Samantha touched upon it at the beginning of the episode that she had a lot of anxiety about going to that fitness retreat in Arizona. And I did too. There were so many times that I almost canceled going on that retreat because I was scared that what if I'm not good enough? What if my fitness isn't mm-hmm. good enough? What if my body's not good enough? What if I just happen to know how to take an amazing selfie? And then when people meet me in person, they're like, what is happening with the bait and switch here? So, but then like when we got there, like that angst went away and just talking to other people at the retreat, I found mm-hmm. out I was not the only one feeling that way. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people decided not to go to that retreat for the same reason, because once we were there and we were posting about the amazing time we were having, I kept seeing, oh no, I wish I did. I wish I went. I was scared. Mm-hmm. I was nervous. I didn't think I was good enough. And it's more common than people realize. A lot of people yeah. aren't as confident as we assume they are. We think it's lacking on our end only. And it's more common, but the beauty about fitness is you are a fitness person if you are committed to working on yourself through fitness. It doesn't matter if it's day one of your journey mm-hmm. or day 1,000, you are a fitness person if you are working on yourself through fitness.
You know, we spoke while you were off air, we spoke with Samantha about this, but what would you tell somebody who is struggling with body image and feels like, you know, I can't keep going?
I don't think people realize just how common it is. I think Samantha and I were a little blown away when we started that group that it's not specific to gender. Yeah. It's not mm-hmm. specific to dress size. It happens to all of us. I've seen one of the Mr. Olympian champions of the world confess that he has body dysmorphia. we are worth the effort. I know a lot of diet culture and media has a lot of Photoshop and toxic information. And unfortunately, it leads to us comparing ourselves to non-existent people. But we are worth the effort, and we deserve to have a life where we're not at war with ourselves. It's okay to want to make changes, keep making changes to your body, but you got to find the way to still love yourself in the process.
Yep. And that's why one of my mantras is you versus you, right? Mm-hmm. You're the only person you have to worry about. You're the only person that, obviously, speaking of you, Samantha, right? You have a daughter, you keep always in the forefront. You have a husband, you have a other family. And so what's the future hold for you? Because you've made a lot of progress. And I know I'm proud of you. I know Jody's proud of you. What does the future hold for you? Like, what more do you want to accomplish? What more do you want to do? You just ran a 5K, I think, yesterday.
I did.
What made you want to do
so
that?
I don't know. I think I enjoy, like, the rush of being able to push my body to see how much I can do, you know, safely. I should say safely. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to a powerlifting contest a couple of weekends ago to see one of my buddies that is there at 4 a.m. So I got to watch him participate. My husband got to come out there. I got to meet his wife. It was really cool. But even as I'm watching, there was only one female in the whole event, one female with all these men. And it was so cool because my daughter was there and it was her school resource officer. And she's like, Mom, it's Officer So-and-so.
Oh,
like, that's cool. Awesome. And my daughter was like, how much does she go to the gym, Mom? How does she get strong muscles like that? Does she have strong muscles like you? But be able to, like, have those experiences, not just with my daughter there. But, you know, I even thought about maybe next year I could do that. It's once a year. They do it every spring. I got plenty of time to prepare for that, right? I'm not a power lifter. You know, I do more like moderate weight, higher reps. I enjoy that. But on occasion, I do like to see what I can do on a PR just for the heck of it. So, you know, one of the most challenging things I did last September was it was a mud run. It wasn't the Tough Mudder. It was a similar.
I remember that.
Something similar to that, but I can't remember what it was called. But that was incredible. Now I felt absolutely horrible after it, and it was much more challenging than I could have ever prepared for that. But I can confidently say that a couple of years prior to last September, I wouldn't have gotten through it. I wouldn't have made it. I would have been passing out, literally passing out. There were people all over the course passing out. There were people being carried away with injuries, you know, having to get oxygen. It was a rough run. But it was so cool to be able to get through the end of the course and be able to see that I was physically capable of doing that. And then the 5K that I just did yesterday. Now, granted, I live in a small place. There wasn't a whole lot of people participating, but it was really cool to get second place in my age group, you know? So, you know, it was like 30 to 38 or something. But it was cool to be able to see that I'm in shape enough to be able to push my body, even though it was 80 degrees and stupid humid. To be able to do that and not pass out. So I think what I'm really wanting is that it's totally shifted. Like, of course I want abs, right? I think most people do. But my shift is so much more focused towards what can I physically accomplish? You know, give me the Tough Mudders. I want to try a powerlifting contest. You know, I want to be able to physically do all these things. I want to be like the people who are – you know, there's one friend that we have who's like, she's like 70 something years old and she's still lifting all the time. I see her videos all the time. You know, I want to be like that. I want to be able to do that. I don't want to be struggling to walk for reasons that maybe could have been prevented had I made healthier choices years prior to. So that's, I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, look, you know,
I feel that.
I saw a meme several years ago. They said something like this: why do you work out so often? Like, what are you preparing for? And then the answer was, I'm preparing for life.
Right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's a difference between go ahead.
I was telling Samantha the other day that challenge that I'm doing June 1st, it's been such an amazing mental break because, yes, I'm focusing on the scale when I step on it. but from a different perspective. I'm not looking at it for aesthetic reasons. I'm looking at it as I'm looking at my weight because based off of what it is, that's how much I'm going to have to lift. That's how much my partner's going to have to lift. It's awesome to not try to fit to a specific size because I want to look a certain way. It's all about what can I do? I want to see how far I can go in this challenge.
You know, Jody brings up the scale again. What's your relationship with the scale now, though? Because, you know, at the beginning you said that, you know, you would get on it. You didn't like what you see. It would mess with you mentally. What's your relationship with the scale now? How?
It's the same. I still hate it. You still hate it? Okay. I still hate it. I mean, the only reason I get on it now, truthfully, isn't because I want to continue to see the numbers drop. I mean, I do want to see the numbers drop, of course, but I mean, my aesthetic is closer than what it's ever been. So I'm not so much focused on the numbers. But I say that now, but if I get on the scale and I gain 2 pounds from what I did last week, it's going to mess with my head. Right. And I might physically struggle to look in the mirror for the next week. It is crazy what that scale does to me. So when I step on it now, I think it's mostly based in fear. You know, I want to get on there just to make sure I'm not getting over a certain number.
Yeah.
Right. And as long as I don't hit that certain number, I'm mostly okay. But there is still that remaining, you know, just negative, brutal self-talk that takes place if I get on the scale and I notice a couple pounds of weight increase from one day to the next. Now, realistically, I know that I didn't gain 2 pounds of fat overnight. That's not going to happen, right? There's no way I could physically eat that much food. But I know that it could be that I maybe had more carbs and drank enough water and now I have extra inflammation, right? Maybe that's it. So I know that there are many things that contribute to that. So realistically, logically, I know that that scale needs to have less power over me than it does. Yes. But like everyone else, we all have our vices. And I think getting on that scale is one of those things for me. You know, realistically, would it be better for me to just step away from it and just get weighed in at the doctor to make sure I'm doing okay? Probably, because at this point in time, I'm not going to quit exercising or eating healthy, which is what matters.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that scale is the worst thing for me.
But I think it's more common than people realize because I can't speak for men. Gio, you can chime in. But I know the message for women in the 80s and the 90s and the early zeros was take up less space, lose weight. The message wasn't be healthy. It was weigh as less as you possibly can. Do this cabbage soup diet for 14 days to drop a pant size or something else extreme. It wasn't about being healthy or finding a good relationship with food. A quote I heard the other day is, we are taught how to diet. We are not taught how to eat. And that's spot on. It's not about being healthy. It's about getting that number as low as you possibly can. And that's just completely false, unhealthy, and we all as individuals deserve better than that.
Yes.
But it's reinforced everywhere. It's very unfortunate. You know? Even with my own friends, it was incredible. I was talking, it was Kayla. Kayla's such a good friend to me. One day, and I had told her, like, hey, this number on the scale went to this certain number, and she didn't like react with this overexcitement. She said, so how do we feel about that? You know, and that was a good reminder that less isn't always better.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good reminder that trying to get smaller and smaller and smaller isn't my goal and it's not healthy, right? Maybe to a certain amount, but at this point it needs to be more body fat percentage versus numbers just continuing to go down. So it was incredible to even see the reaction from a good friend who I talk to on a daily basis, kind of keep me in check with that. Versus just celebrating immediately, it was, how do we feel about that? You know, and that was really a big lesson for me. You know, anytime someone tells me they're losing weight, I do jump to the conclusion that that's what you're trying to do. But when she said that, it was like a lesson, like this light that just kind of went off of, you know, I need to be responding more like that. Because it isn't always the best thing that you've dropped weight, because maybe you're really not eating enough. you know, or maybe it's just a change in what you're eating so you don't have the inflammation you did before. But either way, we have to give that scale less power than it has. It's out of control and ridiculous the majority of time.
Yeah. For me, you know, you asked about men, you know, I don't care if the scale moves up when I'm either at maintenance or bulking, but when I'm trying to cut and it moves up, it's like, oh, come on, man, stop it. And so on Friday night, we had a late dinner. Normally, I eat dinner between 5 to 6 p.m. We didn't get done eating till like 8:30 p.m. So I knew mentally the scale was going to be higher in the morning. Just is. I mean, less hours digesting and all that. And so I have to mentally prepare myself for it. And so I mean, I don't have issues with the scale when I'm at maintenance or bulking, but when I'm cutting, yeah, it does play with me. And I have to think of, well, okay, what did I do yesterday? Oh, yes, I ate a late dinner. That's why. Instead of thinking, you know, that extra banana bread or that extra, you know, 400 calories of ice cream went straight to the obliques. And so, yeah, we all have to be our own coaches. As we wrap up, Jody, you haven't been on because of technical issues.
I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. But yeah, perhaps ask Samantha our final question and then we'll dive into something nuts that happened to Jody today.
I would like to know, what are your goals in the next couple of years from a fitness perspective?
It's a hard one because I don't really have that decided. I think just in the last couple of weeks, like going to see the powerlifting contest and being able to do well in the 5K, I think that's more of my fitness goals at this point, is to be able to push my body to do more, like literally getting myself to sign up for the things where I'm like, ooh, that looks really challenging. I don't think I can do that. Well, let's sign up for it then. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, awesome. It's to kind of get myself to do the things that scare me, right? Mm-hmm. To push myself out of that comfort zone, because that's where I functioned for so many years. We didn't grow there. So one of my fitness goals, but one of my fitness goals is to just continue to push myself out of that comfort zone and see what my body is capable of doing if I allow it to do it.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Samantha, it's been a pleasure. Obviously, from the moment I physically met you in Arizona, it's been a blast. And I feel like, you know, we see each other often, but obviously it's just on social media. But I'm really proud of you. I mean, I've noticed the difference, like I said, how the fire started kicking in more since we came back from Arizona. Matter of fact, if anybody wants to see Samantha, she's on Instagram there at Samantha Lifts for Fun. And has that always been your social media handle on Instagram?
No, I changed that.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so why this new name? What do you want to project with this new name?
I think because I got away so much from that just being like an addition to my other socials. I wanted Instagram to kind of be my space to focus on fitness, to focus on my accomplishments in the gym, my health. It was a good kind of space for me to be accountable. That's all I see on Instagram is fitness related stuff, because that's the space that I use it for. And that's where I have majority of people that are interested in fitness and weightlifting, women especially. That's where I connect with them. So.
Okay. All right. Give me a second while I set this up here. One second. Oops, wrong button. Just shrink that here because we want to get Samantha on the screen. Shrink me too. We didn't expect to do this, but here we are. Okay. Now, what I'm going to show is, I think, goes along with our discussion today, because it's something that happened to Jody. Jody set it up for us.
It actually happened maybe less than an hour before we were scheduled to go live, somebody reached out to me to let me know that somebody stole one of my transformation photos and posted in a group pretending to be me. And they took one of my transformation photos saying that I lost 150 pounds in 7 months with some schmageggy named Daniel Mueller coaching and supplements. I don't know who that is. I don't know what supplements he's peddling, but he's a liar. Whoever this person is a liar. And my highest weight to date is 231 pounds. If I lost 150 pounds, I would be 81 pounds. I wouldn't be flipping and carrying tires or deadlifting 200 some pounds if I was 81 pounds. But what makes me more upset is that's me in the before picture. I was that person that felt hopeless who would have succumbed to a post like this. I would have fell for it because I'd be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe this person has the answers. Maybe I can finally change my life and lose weight. And I would have fallen for this. But anybody that knows me knows that I keep it real. There are no shortcuts. I worked really hard for this. It will take longer than people realize, but it's worth it. It absolutely is worth it. And I don't pretend it was easy. It certainly did not take 7 months. And it just angers me, the fraud out there. And we at Mindful Muscle, we are a podcast for anybody into fitness, but we primarily focus on the beginner because we've been there. Gio was a beginner. I was a beginner. We want to focus on helping somebody get started on their journey. And this exactly is the kind of bad stuff that gets targeted at beginners. And you just have to be leery of the information out there. If it seems too good and too easy, it's probably fraud. It's probably scam. And this, unfortunately, is not the first time that this has happened to me, and it probably won't be the last. I'm currently in the process of trying to get into this Facebook group. It's called Weight Loss and Muscle Gain Education. But I'm assuming that whoever owns and runs that group is part of the fraud, and they're probably going to reject me trying to get in once they see my picture of who's trying to get in. But it just angers you how much crap is out there.
Yeah. Samantha, what would you tell somebody who sees that picture and thinks it's easy?
It's not realistic. You know, even myself, I lost a pretty substantial amount of weight in a year or so, but we're talking 2 hours a day in the gym. You know, I didn't take a supplement and then boom, the weight's gone. Yeah. Right. It doesn't happen like that. People are taking information that sounds good and presenting it to a vulnerable population to make it appear like you can do it. And what happens is you're going to try the supplement, you're going to buy into them, you're not going to get the results you want. And then you're stuck right back in the cycle of, I can't do this, when you can, but you don't need that supplement. Yeah. You can do it, you know. But anyone who says, let's do it the easy way, it's a lie.
Yeah.
There is no easy way to do this, as Jody stated. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things to make it easier. Pre-workout's great at 4 a.m. Right. Creatine is wonderful for muscle growth, but you know, but there's no drink or special tea or whatever that's going to completely transform your body. It's not gonna happen.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And we'll end on that note, because you know what happened to Jody is wrong, and we want to find out who this shenanigan is and try to get it down. But the three of us here are a testament to hard work. We all have our different backgrounds. We all come from different places. We have different, you know, like some of us are crazy and wake up at 3 a.m. and do Bulgarian split squats, but we all got there somehow. And it is through the testament. Through the testament of hard work and accountability to each other in the group that you can make it happen. So if you're listening to this and you heard Samantha's story, look, It's just hard work. Get your nutrition on point. Find a community that will support you, and you too can do it without any gimmicks or hassles. And thank you, Samantha, for being on tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time on the Mindful Muscle Podcast, see ya.